Hey y'all!
Welcome to NOLA HOTS, a podcast to raise awareness about congenital heart defects and discuss resources about CHD and some other stuff.
We're just two heart mamas from New Orleans doing this for heart mamas. Our dads, grandmas, aunts, friends, whoever may want to listen.
That is Susan Oakland.
And that is Lana Stevens. And we feel like we've got a lot to say.
Hey! We're in March. I just had my birthday 2 days ago. Why didn't you throw me a party?
Damn, I forgot.
I just realized that as we said we're in March, I was like, also it's my birthday.
But wasn't it just Thanksgiving?
Yes, it was. It was.
Like, literally.
Yes, it was. It was just your birthday in October.
It really has just passed by oh so quickly.
Yes, it has. But you know what I love about March, other than my birthday? It's like the introduction to spring. Like, bust out the crawfish boils. Like, it's the best. You know, it's also like allergy season as well. But
bust out your Claritin. Right.
Yeah. But I just feel like it screams boiled seafood. And I'm a fan of that.
I love boiled seafood, Easter. Mm-hmm. I love the weather.
Yes. It's usually good weather. Usually.
And my favorite parade, which is St. Patrick's Day Parade, mm-hmm. which I'm going to have to miss out on this year because this Saturday I have the boys' high school, I don't even know what they call that, orientation or whatever. You know, I'm sure the show up, give me some checks. And your kids are coming here next
right,
year.
Right, and something real big Saturday night.
And then after I do that, we have the Heart Gala, Henry's Hearts Gala, is Saturday night.
So we still have time to get tickets. Let's hope it might be sold out. We don't know. We're pre-recording.
Yeah, so if it's not sold out, tickets will be sold up until they are sold out or at the door. But historically, we've always been sold out. We've never been able to sell tickets at the door. So if somebody still hasn't gotten tickets and they're curious, you know, we take sponsorships up till the end and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. Get your 80s costume.
Yeah.
Get your specialty bar cocktail cup so you can partake in whatever kind of concoction.
What's the drink this year?
No, Dwayne's still working on it.
All right. It's a secret. We're going to keep it a secret is what we're going to do.
Well, you know, he usually goes with the theme, but I mean, what are 80s? Hand grenades from Bourbon Street? I don't know.
I said a Bartles and James or a Zima.
Let's get an ice chest of Zima. Or what was that, like, clearly Canadian and vodka?
Some people used to drink. Oh, Lord.
Which I feel is really what all those canned seltzers are now. It's like clearly Canadian with some vodka thrown in there.
It's totally what it is. It's a truly.
It is absolutely a truly. So that's like the 80s version.
That's funny. Okay, well, I'm excited about the gala this weekend. So all that information, if it's not sold out or if you're interested in sponsorship, is on the Henry's Hearts website.
Yes, henryoakwindfoundation.org. And even if you're unable to attend, you can participate in the silent auction.
Yes.
You can participate in the raffles because all but one raffle, you do not have to, be present to win. So you could participate that way if you should choose to do so.
Yeah, that's a good thing to point out because some people are like, I just don't have, you know, I don't have the extra time or can't be there or I don't have the extra money, but I want to be able to participate in something.
One of my friends likes the cups and she can't come, so she bought herself a cup even though she's not getting
a drink, right? Does she want me to drink out of it for her that night? I'm just kidding.
You can use it and then I'll wash it for her. It should be a good time. I'm excited about the theme and as always, I'm praying that the weather cooperates.
Well, it's an indoor event, but still, it's still nice to have.
But
good
we usually
weather.
Use that terrace, and it's so nice with the fire pits, and we put the gambling tables outside. And so I'm hoping it, you know.
Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be great. Okay, so today we have a guest who has not been on the podcast before, but she's representing herself, and we're going to let her introduce herself. Her name is Bryn, but she's also representing Camp Encore, which is the heart camp that Susan and I's kids have attended over the last few years. She works with them as well as being a CHD adult. So we are excited to hear from Bryn. You said her last name's Thompson, right?
Yes, Bryn Thompson. Bryn Thompson.
So Bryn's going to join us today and talk about all the things as a CHD patient and as well as Camp Encore.
Awesome. Let's get to it. Welcome to Bryn Thompson, who is a CHD patient, and she also works with Camp Encore. Welcome, Bryn. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yay. Love that she's so excited to be here.
I know. How are you doing?
I'm a little strange. I think I might be y'all's biggest fan.
Shut up.
I literally listened to all of your podcasts from August to December. Oh, it's
I really love that.
So being that I'm at camp, I live in Baton Rouge, but I work in Lafayette, so I have a lot of time.
Oh yes, I love a podcast for a commute. There's nothing. Yes.
I've never. That's
don't commute.
I don't commute, but when I am in the car for a while, that's when I return phone calls.
Well, I do that
because
as well.
I can do it uninterrupted, which is, I mean, like
I get that, and really, I do that as well. But I guess if you commute every day, like you know, like Bryn does, or I don't do every day, but I do a couple days a week. And last week was a heavy phone call week, but at most days, I'm like, I like to have my own get out. I don't want to talk to anybody.
I hear that.
So anyway,
I hear that.
So Bryn, tell us about yourself.
Yes. Tell us about yourself. Where are you from? What is your CHD and all the good stuff?
So I am actually from La Place, Louisiana. And so I was only like 20 or so minutes outside of New Orleans. I was born at River Parish Hospital, which I think now Ochsner owns that now. I don't know if it's under the same name. But I was born there. I was the firstborn. So my mom and dad had me in 86. And they did not know that I had CHD, of course. And so actually, shortly after I was born blue. So I was born with transposition of the great arteries, same as Henry. And the nurses kind of noticed pretty early on that I was blue, and that was indicative of, they thought, something related to the heart. So they kind of told my mom that they were going to have the doctors come in and talk to her or whatnot. Eventually, within that same day, 24 hours or so, they did send me to Ochsner in New Orleans, and my mom, you know, stayed behind. So I can't imagine, but I did go to New Orleans and they diagnosed me officially there. And I don't obviously remember all those. I wasn't, you know, my mom tells stories. My grandmother tells stories. Don't remember. But
God, thank God.
Right? Yes. But I do know that I stayed, you know, I was not premature or anything like that. I actually came a few hours after my mom's due date. But I stayed there for several weeks, and eventually they let her take me home, and I was monitored at home, and I had my uncle babysat me.
I would be so nervous.
Okay, I'm sorry, go on.
It's okay. Like, I guess, you know, they didn't really know at that time. I don't think they really were doing surgeries on
infants,
you know, hours old, days old babies. They wanted me to grow a little bit. And it was strange too, because they kind of just told my mom, you'll know when it's time. Like, there was no like.
I've heard that a lot. You'll know.
Yeah.
I don't want to be.
My husband would not want to live with me if that was the case. Uh-uh. Like, I would have been an absolute best nut case, job.
Yeah. Like, staring at him every day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what's funny was at that time, like, my mom couldn't find anybody to watch me. Like, no daycares would take me.
Right.
And I think that's something that still probably is difficult for moms today. But my uncle actually ended up taking out a semester of college, and he watched me. So he took care of me day in and day out. And he was the one that called my mom and my grandmother and was like, I think it's time. So I was 3 months old and I had my first open heart, my only open heart. I've only had one open heart surgery.
Wow. Well, yes, because technically Henry was one and done.
It's because
of his anatomy that he's been back for the cath lab, but the actual transposition for him was one and done.
What, the switch? Is that what it is?
Unfortunately, I'm older than Henry. Older than Henry.
Okay.
So they did not perform the switch back then.
Okay.
Really?
Interesting enough, I was one of the last babies at Ochsner to have what's called the mustard procedure. Have you heard of that?
I have heard of that. I don't remember where I've heard it, but I have heard of it before.
Do tell.
It predates the switch. So
Wait, are you sure Haley Steimel didn't talk about that?
You know what? Someone in your podcast did have mustard.
You know what? You're right.
I think she did. I think that's where I've heard of it.
Yeah.
So I'm like her. I you know, again, I was born in the 80s.
Yeah.
I am almost 37. So they didn't have a switch back then. So I had what's called the mustard procedure. So my part is still deformed, defective, whatever mm-hmm. you want to say. So they basically reroute your circulatory system with the mustard. So your anatomy still remains the same. So my heart is still, you know, the valves are in the wrong places still. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, technology, I don't understand it, but somehow they made it work.
Yeah.
And, but they did, in that surgery, I don't know if that's common, but I feel like it might be that, the nodes were damaged, the electrical signals were damaged during that surgery. So I did end up several years later needing to have a pacemaker implanted. So I do have a pacemaker as well. So I didn't it wasn't technically one and done.
Right.
But
you had like cath procedures and stuff.
Oh yeah. Plenty of cath. I don't know if I've had as many as Henry, but, definitely still to this day have them, ongoing. They call it a tune up, which I'm like a car, like I guess.
Car.
Yeah. So I'll go every 10 years approximately. And, I'll get, you know, just checked out and make sure everything was looking good. But yeah,
this is an adult doctor at Ochsner. You see Dr. Young at Ochsner?
Yes. So I started to see Dr. Young prior to being an adult, I guess. I saw Dr. Teresa Rocha for a long time. And she moved to Alabama at some point, where she's back where she was from. And it was around that time that Dr. Young was coming on board, or I'm not sure, but I saw him when I was still in high school. I think I was maybe 17, 18, 19, right around that transition age. And then I've pretty much been with him ever since. So it's been a journey. He's seen me for 20 years.
Yeah, so we love him. I know y'all love him over at camp, but we're not going to jump into camp just yet.
Yeah, but no, I'm fortunate because he is he's a pediatrician, but he's also sees adults, thankfully.
Yeah,
because, and that's a privilege. I mean, it's a luxury. Not a lot of adults have the accessibility to seeing adult congenital docs. There's
I agree. Yeah.
In the whole country.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. We're lucky to have the access to that, you know?
It seems like something that would have caught up with, you know, I don't know.
I'm sure it's coming. It's probably going to come in influx soon, I would imagine.
Well, I'm hoping. I mean, because we're getting older.
And yeah. And
anywhere.
So. And we're living. So that's the thing.
Right.
As, you know, as if it's me, but you know what I mean.
So, yeah.
You know, did you live like a pretty normal childhood? No restrictions? I know you're a mom.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say I had no restrictions, especially back in those days. Doctors were pretty apprehensive back then to tell you, like today, it's like, oh, you can just go and live a normal life and just do whatever you want, listen to your body within reason, you know. But back then, they didn't have the data that they have now. So, sure, they were, you know, it was, you know, I couldn't play PE, like I'm sure it's very common. You know, I had restrictions, especially after I got my pacemaker. I had to be very careful about, you know, how you raise your arms and, you know, just those sorts of things. And of course, my pacemaker helped, but I remember being a child, being really fatigued all the time, and I couldn't keep up. But aside from that, I mean, you know, I've lived a pretty normal life, went on vacations. I took dancing for years as a kid. So I was fortunate. I wasn't really an outdoorsy person per se. So I didn't have the, you know, especially like some males, like they have that drive. They want to go out and play football and basketball. Right. And that wasn't me. So that kind of didn't affect me as much, you know.
So we talk about that often because, you know, Henry, he can't play football. He really wants to play football. And I'm like, I'm always so like, oh, you know, I feel so bad for him. We don't have that problem in our house because Harley doesn't like to sweat past dancing or singing on stage.
Pretty much. I mean, I liked to be inside.
Yeah, right.
So, well,
let me ask you this, because I feel like this is a question, you know, we've interviewed Dr. Young and a doctor about this, but I feel like there's a lot of moms with daughters out there that are curious. Did you have any limitations or restrictions or issues with carrying your children?
So I'm glad you asked. I wanted to talk about that. I remember I was 16 years old. Dr. Rocha was still my cardiologist at the time, pediatric cardiologist. And I remember my mom being in the room, and for some reason, I don't know why the subject came up of having children. I was 16. I don't know.
Because in a blink of an eye, it happened.
Right? Like, so I mean, remember who Emily brought that up.
Woman, she's 16.
I know. That happens twice.
So, but anyway, I remember Dr. Rocha telling my mom that, I'm so glad she used these words. She said, it's not that she can't, it's that she shouldn't have children. And I remember just breaking down. Like I was just distraught, which again, I think it was that I heard no so much in my life as a kid. No, you can't do this. You can't do that. And I was just like,
It's heartbreaking. Like, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That's a line that sticks out to me from Steel Magnolias. It's not that she can't, it's that she shouldn't.
And that's exactly what I was told. But then fast forward, I was older and I started dating my now husband. And luckily, I'm so fortunate that he went with me a lot to my appointments, even before I remember being engaged and we were going to my appointments. So he was always very open about learning and knowing a lot about my situation. And my mom didn't go to those appointments as much anymore. So that was hard because
put a knife in this mom's heart.
I know. Not ready. I know.
Any appointments yet? No.
But what I wish my mom would have went more in that time, because things started to change. Technology started to change. And then all of a sudden, Dr. Young was saying, it's okay. Like, I'm not saying that it won't be a risk.
Right.
But we will walk you through it. We will get you through it. And for a long time, my husband and I still, it wasn't so much that I was afraid of having a child and passing the CHD on to them, because I know that is a fear for some adults with CHD, especially females. That wasn't so much, it's going to make me sound selfish, but I was worried about me.
Well,
because and they always told me, it's not that you can't, the pregnancy itself would not harm me. This is me talking. But it would be the aftermath that they just didn't have enough data to tell me, because when you're a woman and you're pregnant and you're pumping larger amounts of blood to your child and to yourself, your heart gets bigger, right? Well, my heart's right side of my heart is already bigger than it should be with transposition. So they were concerned what that's going to look like when the baby's here. And if that muscle is going to go back to its normal size or not. And that's just what they couldn't tell me. Right. They can't predict that.
Right.
So I didn't really want to be a statistic. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I was not. And then things happened and we decided we would adopt. And we were married 7 years before literally the Saturday before we were going to an adoption class. It was our anniversary. And I thought something went right. And sure enough, we found out we were pregnant and I was freaking out. Mm-hmm. But luckily I'd had those conversations for those many years. And I knew, number one, Dr. Young had been very forthcoming in talks about medication. So I knew immediately to get off of lisinopril.
Uh-huh.
And, so I did. And so that's why I think it's important for young girls, women, to continue those conversations, even if you don't plan on getting pregnant, just to know what your risks are, what you need to know about your medicine and things of that nature. Because had I not had those conversations, I wouldn't have known to get off of this girl. Yeah. Tara was not planned. She was very, very, I was excited. We were happy, but she was not planned. So.
Oh, well, I'm glad you shared that part. I think that's important.
I think it's a big piece that I didn't really think about because I have a son. And when we interviewed Dr. Young and an OBGYN and we discussed it and how they kind of work together, you know, it's an aspect that when you have a son, you don't worry about it. But for moms out there who have daughters or for any female CHD patients who are wondering that, you know, I feel like it's a good thing to research and know. And I think it is good to encourage them to have those conversations because, you know, like I, even at Henry at age 13 and 14, you know, like I'm like, you answer the doctor, you know, like you tell them what's wrong with you. You tell them what surgeries, because you are getting older. And at some point, although I'd come with you till I'm 100 to your point,
right.
You're not going to want me here, or your wife will start coming or, you know, like, it's just, you know, you do need to get in a habit of knowing your own you know, like you're going to be in high school and driving or going away to college. Like if something happens to you, you need to be able to answer a medical professional about what's wrong with you.
So yeah. That brings up a good point talking about Camp Encore. I feel like our kids learn, they're very good about teaching that and pushing that. I remember the first year Harley went coming back and it was Sean when he was one of the nurses there still. And he was like, when I went to pick her up, he was like, all right, Harley, tell your mom, what's your medicine? They're like, you know, good about making I think that that's kind of all part of it too, you know?
And I agree.
You have one child or more than one child?
I have two. Okay. The second one was planned.
Okay.
So,
you went well with pregnancies and your health.
Yeah. So I'm glad you had Dr. Durst on with Dr. Yeah. Young. That's exactly the process that I went through, both times. So of course I was followed very closely both times, both pregnancies, not just with Dr. Young and my OBGYN, but also maternal fetal medicine was involved. I mean, at the end, I felt like I was basically, I should have just like got a cot and just slept in the waiting
room.
That's
great that there's that many resources and support there for that.
Oh, for sure. You know, for sure. And thankfully, you know, not just me, but of course they wanted to monitor the kids and make sure if I did a fetal echo at 20 weeks or about that for both of them, just like, you know, a lot of the moms on here do. And, you know, all I could think, I was like, we didn't know if Carol was a boy or girl. We didn't want to know. So we went in together and I was like, you know, I just don't want to know. I just want to make sure she has four chambers.
Yeah.
She has four chambers. That's all, you know? And I remember when they told me she had four chambers, I was like, just such relief. And that's it's not me. Because I always said I was okay if I had a child with CHD, right? Because I felt like who better than to have a child than someone who's been through it. Not that I wanted that, but
you could have mentally prepare yourself for that.
Yeah. And then when I saw four chambers and I was like, okay, you know, and then the same for my son. My son, I was a little older, so of course I was probably there more for him than my daughter. But yeah, they both are heart healthy. And that's what I guess the takeaway from, you know, I hope that parent, like, just because your kids have CHD doesn't mean that their children will have it. They may. Mm-hmm. And just like you get through it. Right. But you can have children that are heart healthy and it's okay.
Yeah. I love that. It's nice to see you, you know, so successful in your family life.
Yeah.
Oh, and my pregnancies were a breeze too, by the way.
That's awesome.
The deliveries. I will not, my mom and my grandma they were like, Bryn, God has been with you because
yes.
I mean, both of my kids, 7 hours, both, they were done. And they told me too, cause I was very, you know, a lot of people, I think y'all heard on that podcast, they were afraid. I was afraid of having to have a C-section because it's harder on anyone, but for me, it would have been harder. And they really wanted me to have vaginal delivery and I was able to both times. So I was really grateful for that.
Good.
But yeah, they were like, you can only push for 12 hours. That's all we're going to let you do. And then after that, you got to go in. So I was like praying and sure enough.
That's something I never considered how long that. They would let you stay in labor if you have a heart defect.
Yeah.
I never really thought of it either.
Yeah. For me, they only would allow the number one, they made me agree to an epidural, which
okay.
I was not upset,
my feelings there.
Right. So that was, they wouldn't let me go natural. Cause some, for some women, that's really important.
Yeah.
And then number two, that was the limit. They would let me push for 12 hours. And then after that, they felt my heart would need a break. And
also, who wants to push more than 12 hours? Not me. I don't know. I'm too C-section.
Well, I guess
I'm not going to lie. When you said seven, I was like, oh.
Did you push for 7 hours?
No. I meant from start to finish. Oh, like so legit. Like,
yeah.
From, well, with Kara, I was induced, but for Nolan, he came on his own. And from, I mean, the time the medicine, Pitocin or whatever, was pumped until they were delivered, it was 7 hours. Like, I didn't push for 7 hours. Oh, God, no.
Yeah, that's great. Right.
Yeah. No. So anyway, I guess the delivery itself, they didn't want me to.
Your actual labor itself.
Labor. Right.
Well, good. I'm glad all that worked out well. And thank you for sharing that aspect of things. We want to jump into Camp Encore. I know we interviewed one of our very first episodes. Episode 3 actually was introducing Camp Encore. And we had a couple of people that were connected to Camp Encore on there, Susanna and Sean and Allie, who are all either, work with the camp or have been past campers as well. So I just met you last summer when Harley graduated from Camp Encore last June. And so tell us about your involvement with Camp Encore and what your role is and kind of what you see for the future.
Sure. So I was started with Camp Encore in 1998. So I was 12 years old at that time. And we were in Grand Coteau back then. And so I went for several years, I think maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 years as a camper. And then I stayed on and I was a CIT for a couple of years. And then, you know, life happened and I grew up and I went, did all sorts of things. I mean, I've worked in so many arenas, but I did get my master's in social work and did, you know, some mental health stuff. I worked with the deaf community for most of that time for about 12 years. Worked in the schools, you name it. I've probably done it. And so I had just left working for the deaf school and I had started working at a school closer to my house. And my friend Jackie passed away. I've mentioned her. You know, other people might have known her through camp, but she passed away almost a year ago. And we went to her services. It was like a bunch of us. It was like a reunion of sorts. And I remember Susanna at the time talking about camp and needing a second person. And, you know, I don't live in Lafayette, so I didn't even really think much of it. And then a few months later, she called me and she really needed a second. And so I talked a lot about it with my husband and I just could not pass. I mean, I couldn't pass it up. I remember as a kid.
Wanting, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, how is this possible? Like someone pinch me. Cause I just never thought it would happen, but I'm now the program coordinator and work under Susanna and I'm happy to be back. It's been, my last year was 08. So it's been 15 years since I've been involved. So a lot has changed, but, I'm really excited. I have been working with, a lot of the doctors at Children's and Ochsner and even in Lafayette and Baton Rouge, and just trying to recruit for camp. We just had our family camp. In January.
How did that go? I've never ever been able to make
it. Never camp,
was so...
1 year I'm going to make it, but it looked very
on
crowded this year.
It looked like y'all had a really good turnout.
It was a great. So Susanna told me it was the most they've had in a long time. I don't Yeah, we had 14. A couple had to drop out, unfortunately. We had a family that had COVID. So we had a few that dropped out, but we had 14 families signed up and 5 were brand new with kiddo, like baby. Oh, okay. So anyway, I just saw the time pop up. Sorry.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, for people who don't know about Camp Encore for family camp. So family camp is from age birth until
until
whatever. And so you don't have to be able to actually attend summer camp to attend.
Right. You can, I mean, if you are up for it and you have an infant, I mean, we had y'all interviewed Nash, Nash, Laura.
Yeah.
They were there and little Nash just turned 3 and my son was running around chasing Nash and he just turned 2.
Oh, good.
So, you know, we have anywhere from I think Ava, which I don't know if I'm supposed to name drop, but Ava and Harley graduated just this past year. And I think Ava started when she was 10 months. So.
Oh, at family camp. Yeah.
Family camp. Yeah. So you can go.
Great way to meet other hard families.
And get more comfortable with sending them off to camp alone too.
Well, and you get to meet the staff. You get to meet the nurses. Dr. Young came. And then we also had Dr. Lindell from Ochsner and Lafayette that was there with her family. And you just go through and it's just a little bit of a toe dip into camp. Cause we don't do everything, but we do, we have archery and we had, some people got to fish in the lake during rest hour and just a little taste of camp. And like you said, introducing them to other families and seeing that they're not alone in this journey that they're going through with their littles, is really important.
Tell us about camp, especially for this summer. Do you have a date so far?
Yeah, summer camp is this summer, June 10th through the 17th. Yes. And it's a Saturday to a Saturday. It's going to be at the same place. It's Stillwater in Abbeville again.
Okay.
And, you know, we have 24/7 nurses there on, you know, round the clock. We have staff. We're all CPR, first aid certified. And then we have a good time, and it lets the kids learn about who they are outside of having a heart problem. Cause that's the weird, it's a heart camp, yeah. And you know why you're there, but you can't hide behind just being the heart kid while you're there. Cause everyone's the heart.
Everybody's got it. Right.
So you have to kind of learn who you are as an individual. And that's what I thrived at camp. I was terrified to go. I was 12. I wanted to go, but I was terrified. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say this, but when my mom left, I begged her not to leave me. And she was like, she still remembered that. But when she came back to pick me up, I didn't want to go home. Yeah. I did not want to go home.
That's usually the case, I'm sure.
That's always the case, probably. But yeah, I mean, it's been great for Henry. So I always highly recommend it to anybody. What are the ages that you can start going to summer camp? Is it 8?
It's 7 if you're local. Like, you know, I don't think we would accept a 7-year-old from like Colorado.
Right,
you
know, right.
Because that's just so far away from their doctors and their family. But but if you're local, 7 to 16. And then afterwards, we do have counselor in training position where you can come back and basically be the mentor for the next generation coming up. So it's, I always thought of it as a give back.
Yeah.
You know, for me, right. That's why I kept going, and it's tons of fun. And, you know, I'd rather that than go, you know, work at a cashier job.
Well, how do families that may be interested get involved? Is there a website to go to? Is there certain dates that applications need to be in by?
Yeah. So our applications, our medical review committee is just kind of finalizing, making sure we have everything we need on the application. We should drop that probably next month, being that it's heart month. We'll probably drop that. I'm not sure if it'll be ready on the 1st, but very soon. So you can
apply. By the time this episode airs, it'll be ready to go.
Yes.
Okay.
You can go on the,
You
can go on the website, heartcamp.com. We also have a Facebook page and an Instagram, or Camp Encore.
Okay.
And, you know, you could call the camp office, or however, just, you can email me, Bryn, BRYNN at heartcamp.com. If you have any questions or want the form, I can mail it to you guys.
Awesome.
All right. And we always ask the same question to everybody on our episodes. So Bryn, if you had one piece of advice to give to a CHD child or parent, or, you know, medical professional, anybody, community in general, what would it be?
So I'm going to plug camp. So the thing, and I have such respect for the medical profession, is, I mean, Dr. Young means so much to me, and all of his staff. But I think something, the link that's missing sometimes for me was always the social and emotional aspects of having CHD, and how sometimes that's overlooked. So just like moms with mom, heart moms, Facebook groups and whatever, you guys need each other, right? Like you need each other. You need your community. Well, the same thing is so for your kids. And that's the one thing I just really wanted to stress, because I've met so many adults who are in their 30s and 40s and 50s who've never met another person with CHD. Right. And they're so alone in the world, like not sure where they fit, kind of thing. And I always thought that every kid went to heart camp. Like naively, I just always thought that that was the case, until I've met so many that haven't. And so that's my one. I just really, it's scary. I'm a mom. I can only imagine, you know, it's really scary sending a sick kid, any kid, away from you. But
it's a community for them. So,
and it's so, it's, my mom always said it did something for you that no doctor could do.
Yep.
And it's so true. I have friends for 20, 30 plus year friendships, and I just go to them when I feel like nobody gets it.
Yep.
You know, even my husband or my mom, like they, you know, they're there, but they don't really, they've not sat in the patient chair.
Yeah.
So that, and then the second thing is for people out there like me, adults, if you're 18, 19, 20 and up, please, 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 even when your mom tells you to go and you don't want to go, you don't see the point in going to your heart doctor when every year it's like, oh, you're fine. See you in a year. Please go.
Just go.
Please right. go. Just go. You never know. I went, I had a heart cath done in June, and in July I was in AFib and didn't know it for 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I only found out when I went for my 6 month checkup.
Yeah.
And thankfully I went, and I had been fine for years.
Yeah.
So you just never know.
Yeah, so stay on top of that.
Better to catch it early, you know?
Right.
So that's my, I know it's twofold, but.
No, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much.
Yes, thanks so much for being with us. It was great talking to you.
We enjoyed it. And we're going to share all of, you know, Heart Camp's information on our social media as well. So we appreciate you. Thanks for joining us, Bryn.
Thank y'all.
Thank you for joining us today, Bryn. She was really sweet to share her personal connection as well as how to get involved with Camp Encore. Susan and I really can't stress enough, get your kids involved. If you're listening and you're on the fence about it, get your kids involved. You will not regret it. They will not regret it. Even if Bryn just said, I begged my mom to come pick me up, that is not the case. Henry was
a little apprehensive, and I think it helped that he knew Harley was there. So he had some kind of
connection,
backup connection. Excuse me if he got freaked out, but he really has enjoyed and he looks forward to it every year. And as of right now, you know, he says he always plans to go back and do the CIT. Mm-hmm. And because I think it helped him enough to where like he wants to be able to do that for other people.
Kids, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And especially if you have sons out there, you know, Henry's like, I need more boys my age there, Mom.
Yeah.
So
right.
If you have sons, you know, who are teenagers and you're listening, like, please, you know, sign them up. It's great. I think it's done a world of good for him,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm glad she joined us today. If you want to share your personal story like Bryn or any of our other guests, please feel free to do so. Whether it's you as a patient or you as a parent or grandparent, family member, you can email us at nolahotz@gmail.com. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at nolahotz. And you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts if you're listening through that app, which I believe a lot or most of our listeners do listen through Apple Podcasts. But we are on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Amazon Music, and Pandora as well.
And we hope to see a lot of you out there at our Heart Gala this Saturday.
Yes.
March 11th in your 80s attire. And we're looking forward to the next episode. Don't forget, no judgment here. It's all about survival.
Cheers.